go ahead and you'll meet that team maybe.
Anyone wants to say anything or ask anything?
Come on. Okay.
What's the best way when you notice that there's something in your awareness that's forced to relax that awareness? Because I'm finding that in my attempt to do that, it feels like I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to relax my awareness, or it's difficult. Like, you know, I feel like somehow I'm proliferating, trying different things. You know, it's like I feel like I'm forced, so I kind of try to look at the quality in my mind, and that sometimes just doing that gives me a headache, or I go into my body. And I mean, sometimes it works, but sometimes it feels like it's just, you know, it's just kind of aside from just accepting the fact that things feel forced at that point. So that's. Mm-hmm.
ว่าอันนั้นเนี่ยโฟซิ่งปาร์ลูกขันษาเองเนี่ยบลูนี้เนี่ยบลูนี้เนี่ยช่อยกองเลยบ่เลยตะคาตะลีรอยะแต่ไม่ตะคาตะลีไอ้ช้อบ่จูซ่าดาโอ้เปลี่ยนแต่ละเอ่อแต่สิได้หาอีกผิดเนี่ยอุปมาอเสิดเฉินนี่โอ้ละคําบีจิเมตะคาตะลีอะหล่นเนี่ยเว้ยกองแฟดดาโอ้โหอะหล่นเลยผิดอ่ะไอ้หล่นลงๆตะคุกๆทรายลงๆอืมเต็นล่ะเลยส่วนเนี่ย
So he says, if you're trying to do anything, like relax, and it's making you tense, he says you must recognize that that means that your mind is wanting something, wanting things to be a particular way. He says, so what you want to do is recognize that attitude. Recognize that attitude. And also, you want to be able to see that energy that's too much. Mm-hmm. So those two things, recognizing the attitude. That's why he asked this question. Even if you don't pay attention, isn't the mind already knowing? Hmm. He says, so the mind can actually start from anything simple all over again. If we don't have an agenda on what we think we should be seeing or what we want to observe, he said, then we can just start very simply with whatever is noticed. Something easy and obvious to the mind, and you just need to be patient from that moment and just sort of carry on in this light way.
တခါတလေအဲ့လိုလေ့ကျင့်လို့ရလုံရင်းနဲ့ခုအကျင့်ပါလို့အကျင့်ဟောတော့လုံနေတာစာတရားထိုင်မယ်လို့စဉ်းစားတဲ့တော့အားတော့နည်းနည်းပါတယ်လုံရင်းနဲ့တခါလေ5မိနစ်10မိနစ်လောက်လုံရင်ရက်ကြည့်လိုက်ရက်ကြည့်လိုက
်
ဘာမှမလုပ်ပဲရက်ကြည့်တော့တိလို့မရဘူးလားအဲ့လိုစုံစမ်းတဲ့သဘောနဲ့လုပ်ကြည့
် This is you could do this experiment to to see this he said whenever we sit meditation He says, automatically, because of, you know, our past habit, we sit and we sort of already are using some extra effort to be aware. He says, so after you've been sitting for about 5-10 minutes, try just not doing anything anymore. Mm-hmm. And then see the difference. So you get in touch with So you really seeing, like, when you've been doing and then when you stop doing, to see whether when you're not doing anything, whether that awareness actually keeps being aware by itself. Another way you can check is to check your posture.
ไอ้นี่ถ้าเอาแม่นๆเล่นไล่เนี่ยกูอ่ะตุบลูอ้าแท้เลยอ้าบลาแท้เลยแน่ๆเฉิงไม่อย่าง
Another way you can learn to tune in to how much energy the mind is using to be aware he says is to to notice the energy in different postures. Like, so you can try sitting really straight and notice how the mind is using energy to be aware. And then if you sit in a relaxed way, or if you lean back, and if you lie down, he says, and if you compare these different postures and the way the mind's energy is, if you like are looking out for that, you'll notice the different kind of ways the energy, you know, you can tune into the way the mind is using its energy. He said he's seen quite a lot of yogis who, the moment they think, I'm going to meditate, they feel tension. They get tense. And that's because of, like, from the habit they've developed from past practice of, like, just putting in too much effort when meditating, when, you know, thinking about meditation. He says in the center in Burma, there are some yogis who don't agree with the Dhamma Hall. Like, the Dhamma Hall doesn't agree with his yogis. He called
it
Dhamma Hall trauma. And these people really, the moment they get near the Dhamma Hall and they're in the Dhamma Hall, they feel tension already. He says that these people have developed this because, like, in whatever past practice they've had, like, practice was always in the Dhamma Hall, and then they get pushed a lot to achieve or to work very hard and so on, and then they just have this fear of going to the Dhamma Hall, or they just develop that tension immediately.
And go completely.
And there's a conflict in the mind of these yogis. He says they know that if they go to the Dhamma Hall and if they practice in that way, it makes them tense, but they also have a sense of guilt. Like, they think that that's the only way, they have to practice that way, so they have a sense of conflict about going to the Dhamma Hall. So all the sense of
guilt.
That's why right from the beginning he tries to tell the yogis not so much to use effort to pay attention to things, but just to be interested in what's happening. That's a different kind of energy.
Now, many are effort pure, no? Within Sensei, effort, the energy pure. Right effort, effort, right people, yogi.
Yeah, he says we were talking about effort and energy yesterday. He says an effort really needs to be right effort. He says we often think that using effort means that we have to, like, use energy, put in effort, that sort of feeling. He says, but you know, learning not to do things is also an effort. For example, learning not to do an unskillful thing, that's also an effort. So that's a wisdom kind of, that's a wisdom motivated action. You understand something is not skillful and therefore you learn to avoid doing that. But he says trying not to do anything doesn't require energy. Just
to,
so he's afraid to use the word try with the yogis. He had a yogi, and she finally figured this out. She said, whenever he says to her, I've tried to do this, he's making suggestions, but she thinks when he said, uses the word try, that he means she's not trying. So she just tries harder and harder, and she gets very tense. He said another thing that gets yogis is this continuity of awareness.
The instruction
is, how he says it is, continuity of awareness is very important. He said, but he doesn't say you have to have continuous awareness, because nobody can have continuous awareness right away. And one yogi had some trouble with this. So, because there's this feeling that it must be continuous, otherwise it's not good enough. And so he asked the yogi to think about this, and that, you know, he's not saying you have to do it continuously. And then the yogi, you know, thought it through, and then only when he realized for himself that when you first begin practice, nothing is going to be continuous, he was able to stop expecting that of himself.
Mm.
And this is something that, I mean, he thought through.
In terms of that, I've noticed that sometimes awareness will happen, and it feels like it happens in this, you know, a place that's free from defilements, like nothing feels, it doesn't feel forced, I don't know, free from defilements, but it's like very, that the natural joyfulness of the awareness happens. But then, if the forced quality begins to happen, sometimes it feels like it's very difficult to get free of that or to really accept it. And sometimes, if I just end up in a situation where I'm not being as aware for a while, say in a social setting, then the awareness will eventually just kind of come back. But if I try to keep the continuity of awareness, eventually, like, somehow a grasping starts to happen, and it's like I need to sort of back off or end up in a situation where I'm not so aware, and then it almost feels like it comes in waves, then the awareness will eventually just kind of come back on its own.
He says, so you need to experiment with your own awareness, like how much, like, trying to be aware is not helpful and will actually make you lose more mindfulness, and how much if you do and what sort of attitude you do it with will actually help you to keep it going. Also, you've noticed that even if you don't try, sometimes awareness comes in by itself. And then you need to notice then what sort of situations makes that awareness come back by itself. What are the conditions or factors that actually help that awareness to suddenly pop up again? You need to find out these things. He said that's being interested in your own practice. He says this sort of thing only you can find out. Other people can only, like, help you to some extent. They don't know all of your mind circumstances. He says, so in times that you felt, you know, that the awareness was good, there was this joy of being aware, and it was sort of happening naturally, he says you also have to then notice in that, why was it like that? What was working in the mind, how was it, and so on, what was the situation, circumstance? And when it's not working, you know, you feel forced and so on, then what's at work there, what mental, you know, qualities are... So he says it's not the whether the awareness is happening naturally or whether the awareness feels forced. That's not really the principal thing to investigate. What you want to investigate in these situations is what is the attitude while you're in that sort of state. That's what is affecting the mind and making it that way at that time.
No. အားထုတ်တာဟိုအရင်အားထုတ်တာဒီအားဆိုင်ပြီးထုတ်တဲ့အလေးချင်းရှိလို့ခုနကအားထည့်လိုက်လျော့လိုက်ထည့်လိုက်လျော့လိုက်ဥစဉ်နောက်ပိုင်းရောက်လာဥစဉ်ဘာအကြံပေးလဲဆိုတွေးတွေးပြီးတော့အားစဉ်းစားရတော့ကိုယ့်အကြောင်းကိုစဉ်းစားရင်တတိယရှိနေများများစဉ်းစားလေတတိယအခုလိုလိုရောက်အားဆိုင်စရာမလိုပဲနဲ့ဟိုကကိုယ့်အကြောင်းကိုစဉ်းစားမြင်တာဖြစ်နေ
He says another thing that is a contributing factor is he says because we've learned a practice where we've learned to focus a lot.And when we do a lot of focusing, he's explained before, sometimes too much energy is used. And then when you run out of energy, you lose mindfulness. So you sort of get on and off and on and off. He says, so he has a suggestion for yogis. He says, why not try, instead of to become mindful, pay attention to something. He says, don't pay attention to things. Think of yourself. Just like try remembering yourself.What am I doing now? And he said, think of yourself often during the day. Like, what am I doing now? What am I feeling now? What's happening in the mind? Like, and he says, if you think of yourself often, it means you're remembering of yourself often, you're conscious of yourself often, you're aware of yourself more often. I mean, it all means, I mean, different words, but it means the same thing. And he says, so you can use that thinking as a way to help you remember yourself. And he suggests, he says that if you notice your mind is, when the mind is not thinking of other things that it has to do, like it's not thinking about the next job it has to do or what it's doing now and all, when it's not on outside things, it's automatically actually introverted. He says once he had gone to practice with his teacher and they were in some forest monastery in Burma and he was sitting on a hillside watching the trees and after a while it was just the same old trees for him and so the mind stopped being interested in the view and he noticed that when the mind stopped being interested in the view outside automatically where it went was inside.And once it went inside, then all it saw was everything that was happening in the mind.
Any?
He says, and at moments when these epiphanies come, he says, you were probably not thinking, I'm trying to meditate.
Right. I'm trying, yeah.
For him, when he eats it, lots of it's coming. Because he's not thinking, he's trying to meditate, but he's aware. He's fully aware.
တခုခုလိုချင်တဲ့အချိန်မှာလူဖြစ်အောင်လုပ်နေတယ်ဖြစ်ချင်တာနည်းနည်းရှိတာနဲ့ညံမလာဘူ
း He says when we're wanting something wanting to have it happen in a certain way for us he says at those times the insights won't come
Craving ကိုလောဘကိုအထင်မတင်အများနဲ့ရှိ
Don't look down on craving he said never think
Meditation လုပ်ရင်တော့ motivation အောက်မှာလာနေတာ
Even when we're meditating you know in the depths of it you know the motivation is sometimes weak That's the rest of it
အဲ့ဥစဉ်တဘောပေါက်တာစိတ်ထဲမှာတကယ်လောဘဒေါသနည်းနေစီပါနေတဲ့အချိန်မှာညာပွင့
် So what he understands is that it's really when there's very little greed and aversion in the mind quite naturally in a natural state that's when insight arrives
ဘာမှမမျောတဲ့အချိန်မှာမှဖတ်သူဝင်လာ
When we're not hoping for anything suddenly realization comes
ဥစဉ်တွိုင်းလေးထဲမှာလည်းပို့ပွင့်
He says in the toilet too realization come to him tomorrow around
We are meditate so idea so
Because we're so like attached to this idea of doing meditation
အဲ့ကြောင့်ဦးညမကြည့်ပဲနဲ့မမြင်ဘူးလားနားမထောင်ပဲနဲ့မကြားဘူးလားတမင်တက်မိတာ
That's why he asked this question to provoke people into this you know to help people understand this idea he says can't you hear even though you're not listening and can't you see even though you're not looking because in meditation we're just always trying to look see it you know with looking not watching
ဆရာတော်တော်များများလည်းအဲ့လိုပဲတင်
And
he said,
it's true, that's how we've been taught. You know, most of us. He said, that's how he was taught too in the beginning. It's like, try to see, like, try to look, find it, sort of thing.
And then, we said, now, the Arthur is sick, he said, 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 he said,
He said that's why in these later years of teaching that's become his emphasis to really keep checking the mind that's trying to be aware whether there's any expectation or disappointment, you know, greed, aversion in any form in this mind. He says the moment the mind that is, you know, being aware has no greed, aversion, delusion, he says Dhamma has already happened.
I love that I'm going to buy out the passion.
So if greed, aversion, delusion are not to be there, he said, something must be there. And that's wisdom, he said. Some sort of wisdom must be there.
So, if greed, aversion, delusion are not to be there, he said, something must be there. And that's wisdom, he
said. He said, so what he started asking himself more now is, experience go?
Tinebula.
Am I aware of the experience now, first? And then, and what is my thought about the experience? How is the mind, like, what is his view towards the experience?
Right view, so, okay.
And if it's right view, he just lets it be. And if he recognizes there's some wrong view, then he keeps an eye on that wrong view.
So he's looking to see what his relationship is to the experience.
Hello, what the experience from a below sasan who she led with
you?
Yeah, that's right.
Below the bottom and sasan. Below the bottom and
mean. What attitude are you relating to the experience?
Yeah, the bottom.
So he is looking for something.
Hello, the kuku ro, chibo chuzara for it. Shall we do that?
So what's that?
It's a sense of investigation. Okay.
ဘာကြောင့်လဲဆိုတော့သူအမြဲတမ်းရှိနေတယ်ဝိညာဉ်ကိလေသာအမြဲတမ်းရှိနေလို့
Because he says the defilements are always there it's like the default mode
အဲ့အလားသဘောပေါက်ရင်လူတွေနဲ့ဆက်ဆံရင်တော့အများကြီးစဉ်းပြေ
He says if we even start to understand these attitudes that they're operating from he says that even the way we relate to people and all not just the experience the way we relate to people and allstart to come to light and everything starts to get easy.
Moha.
He says, when we have an experience, but what we project onto the experience are our ideas or assumptions, he says, then that's delusion at work. People come and ask him, how do we observe delusion? And he says, the stage you're in now is
delusional.
He says, for example, he says, don't we notice our mind? Somebody comes towards us and we immediately make an assumption, or some question comes to mind, like, this person must be coming because of this, or this person looks like this, that, or the other. Our assumptions about what we think or where we think the person is coming from is the best delusion at work.
Mm.
Because we don't really know for sure. This is our assumption.
So, on Sunday, I had a quiet day, and I was trying to do, I think, what he was giving us instructions for the other day, and I was sitting a lot quietly, and I was reading, but even walking, and so during the course of the day, at various times, I was just sort of like, well, what's happening now, and noticing, like, sensations, and what was I looking at. I was pretty relaxed, and I was noticing that I was just pretty relaxed, and it would last for a few moments, and then it would drift away, and I would forget again, and I tried to, just as many times as I remembered throughout the day, probably wasn't that many, but it was a few, and that's what he's asking, right, to just try, like, well, what's happening now, and even when I was at work, when I was, let's say, feeling tension around something, at least I would notice, well, I'm feeling tension, I mean, that's about all it was, and then it would be gone, but... So is that what he's asking?
To Sunday and then lo xiang xi yo to any to use pure to na san chi ni le san chi ro to any a season ni de le time le sai ko ti bo chu za le sao le ba le phat de lan le ba le shop de ma cha khana de ji ya tu ko tu me de le ba phit ni le sai ka ba phit ni le as so na na pa ma ti ro pi yin me wa de pi ro naw khana ni cha yin de ji ya yin pya me de အဲ့တော့သူအဲ့ဒီနေ့မှာတနေ့ကမှမကြခဏခဏအဲ့လိုမျိုးမ
ပြီးလေ
ဒါပေမဲ့တိတ်အများကြီးတော့မမဲမိဘူးတဲ့ဟိုသူကဘယ်နှချိန်တော့မပြောဒါပေမဲ့အများကြီးတော့မဟုတ်ဘူးတဲ့ဦးစင်းပြောတာတော့ဒီလိုမှတ်လာတယ်အဲ့လိုမျိုးလုံးကိုစူးစမ်းခိုင်းတာမဟုတ်လားအလုံးလုံးတဲ့နေ့တွေလဲသူကတင်းလိုက်တော့ဟောတင်းမှန်တိလိုက်တယ်တဲ့ဘာမှတော့မလုံးဖြစ်ဘူးပြီးတော့မေ့သွားတယ်တဲ့ဒါပေမဲ့ပြန်တင်းလိုက်ပြန်သတိထားအဲ့လိုတစ်ခါတလေအဲ့လိုသတိထားမိရော
အဲ့ရပဲများများမေ့ကို
Yeah, that's right. He says, and to maybe hope to remember more and more often to ask the question to yourself, to be interested in yourself.
But just gently noticing, really, like what's happening now, just try to build
gently noticing
to happen more often.
Yeah, I love you.
He said that is enough.
Ni dai lou no.
But do it every day, yeah. Consistent.
Yeah,
consistent.
Yeah. Don't be there. Hey, I'm going to go to the house. I'm going to go to the house. I'm going to go to the house.
He says, so do this. Every day when you wake up in the morning, before you jump out of bed, remind yourself how you want to spend this day by trying to, by remembering as often as possible
yourself.
He says, because the mind is like a train. And that engine, where it goes, all the rest of the lines will follow. So if you set the mind a direction, that you've set an intention, the rest of the lines will follow. He says, so there needs to be two kind of intentions, aspirations, or whatever. One is, you have to want to remember yourself often. The other thing is, you have to want to grow on that. Start on it and you want to grow that.
Mm-hmm. So
grow it slowly over time.
Like when he says grow meaning develop more continuity, is that what grow means?
More and more often.
More and more often.
Often, yeah.
Okay.
He says but without any expectation or aversion. Like expectation of having the result or disappointment if there's no result, but always having this intention in mind.
Right, and so I can just notice whatever it happens to be, what that state may be, and they're all different.
He says, so if you do this, what will happen is you're bringing your mind towards your body more, like mind into the body more and more. He says, and if you develop this habit, the mind stays more with the body more and more often during the day, he says, then a sense of investigation can come into play once that sort of thing is established.
但是屁屁所以那种但是屁满地呢都先了把这样骗了
Yeah, so in the beginning you might only notice tension and then forget, notice tension and forget. And when you do this, say, few weeks or something, he says, then your mind stabilizes enough on noticing this often enough, you can, the mind has the space now to ask, why is it becoming tense?
困难担心嘛，骗弄下来对呀，担心骗骗点卡来对呀，哎，那时候都要背，第一天嘛，都过十万张了。
Then your mind will start to notice, before the tension, what was happening, what caused the tension to begin. You're aware when there's tension, and then you know there can be an interest to find out what to do about it.
Feeling would对呀，啊，都有对呀，呀。
And you must know, and once you get to that sort of investigation, what you need to know is both not just the feelings, but also the thoughts.
不是我原来拿床牌标呢
He says, whenever we look at our minds, he says we should listen to it to hear what the mind is saying.
不听不要标过来 ，look 了标了哪么来过
？Yeah, he once, you know, he was talking to a yogi once, and you know, he always uses the word look at the mind, look at the mind, watch the mind. The yogi didn't understand look at the mind.
哎，我 listen 了标了呀，都得我搞。
But when he said listen to your mind, the yogi understood.
You're listening to the mind, but you're using the body as the first sign that there's tension. You're using the body as the barometer.
두 번째 사마로 오 생고지 소매매 사마로 카나코네스 자. Yes, it's easier to start with the body.
I mean daily activity, my feeling is low.
But he says when you're like running about your daily life, it's actually easier to tune into your feelings, like emotion at the emotion level, than even the body sensation.And he says actually our emotions are more important to notice and number one.
And
it's also easy. Yeah, I mean it's obvious. Emotions are easy to notice. The moment we get eager, we get tense. All the time.
I find it challenging to stay with my thoughts.I might have a glimmer of thought, but it's very difficult for me to remain rooted. I slip into my story.
He said two things contribute to that. One is that the awareness is not strong enough, mm-hmm. and the other thing is just lack of skill from lack of practice. We have very little practice in actually recognizing thoughts, acknowledging that a thought is happening, so that we remain acknowledging a thought is happening, but still remaining aware even though the thought is still there. Because in our practice, what we do is we focus on the thought and the thought disappears, so we never know this stance of being there and not getting sucked in. He says whenever he sees a thought or recognizes a thought, he never looks at the story of the thought. What he always learns to recognize is that a thought has arisen. So what he's recognizing is the fact that something is happening, an event is happening.
听哪里家了？比如六个人漏开呢？喏，漏边缘，特别 obvious 这些嘛，变难开呢，都加加没看，但买累进了漏边。
For beginners, he says to build the mental muscle of awareness, he teaches them to recognize the thought. That means they should look at the thought to acknowledge that a thought is happening, but after that, bring it back to like whatever they were observing before that, because that grounds them again.And not just continuously watch the thought because they get sucked into the story, but to do that exercise of actually tuning in and recognizing, oh, a thought has happened, and then coming back. So you can do that over and over again, but it builds that awareness.
Storyline or personal, I do like that involuntarily.
But once we think of the person or the place or the story, he said, then we get lost in
it. I don't think I'm made it. Yogi, do you cheat? And then I change the jar, I don't made it. Do you did that? I say, you did that.
And if somebody has been practicing this, you know, they learn to acknowledge the thought every time. he says, and if they have some practice, they can start recognizing the thought. He says, and he asked them to ask themselves this question when they recognize the thought. Do you see that this is a thought, or do you recognize that this is the mind? This is a mind arising.
You know, wandering mind will be pure. The mind is wandering will be pure. A will ya go pure ja. I use that to pure. Actually, I'm using a pure me. Idea baby. Say so. The bawa ba. Try you don't let me see. Try you don't let me see.
He says the English word wandering mind. In Burmese also, the word for thinking is like the mind has wandered away. It suggests to the mind that the mind has actually wandered away, like moved somewhere. And he tries to get yogis to recognize that the mind actually doesn't go anywhere. The mind is only happening here. And it's, all it does is arise. Gone.
Arise. You know?
So they need to remember this. Then they will recognize that even if it's a thought about somewhere, this thought has just arisen. That's all.
Memory mind, thinking mind. Memory mind, thinking mind.
That's arisen.
Past to storyline or past pinpin, future pinpin, safe and present.
So the story inside the thought may be about the past and the future, but that mind is arising in the present moment.
The D is the D to it over to Dim. Say lo Dim and Yam.
He says awareness alone can only recognize that a thought is happening. There's a thought, thinking is happening. But
understanding Yama mind will be.
He says when there is a realization of the nature of thought, then understanding wisdom sees that this is only a mind happening, arising right now.
So I'm kind of enjoying that everything is a defilement, because then there's plenty to look at. So, you know, say just now when you said everything is sort of delusion, and so, you know, when I tried to investigate in my mind where was the delusion, then it sort of kind of seemed to fall apart a little, so that felt good. So when I'm finding a lot of lobha in my practice, then I see it and it kind of gets less and it feels good. So I'm kind of, I don't know, I feel like I'm more friendly now than before. And I even wonder if like I'm going and looking for them now, you know, like if I should try to look and find them, like with my little vacuum cleaner, ooh, there's one behind a plant, you know, and try to get it.
He says, well, just a sense of investigation. You don't have to, like, search and destroy.
Right attitude, she was saying, the object led what? Give me that object,
he says, you know, when you have this right attitude, when you have the right attitude, even the defilement is just an object.
Yogi, down like the two, sit with you again, but I'll be able to sing it.
Many yogis, you know, when they, you know, they try to watch the mind, they come and tell him that it upsets them. They feel upset, yeah. Because everything they see is not good. The mind is
not good.
And they say, you know,
at home,
they say, at home my mind is fine. I don't have so many defilements. Now I come to the retreat, I have so many defilements in the mind. That's why he has to remind them again, it's not your mind, don't identify with it, don't personalize it, the mind is just nature.
Right view,
yeah, that's why he tries to clarify right view to them again. Is this when someone has been meditating at the center for a couple of days, he asks them, do you recognize the thoughts yet?
ဘုန်းကြီးတပါးလာအထုတ်တော့ပရမတရားသူ့အတွေးကိုတိတ်လာမိမတွေးဘူးလေသူဘာမှမတွေးဘူးလေဒုတိယတရားရောက်လာမတွေးဘူးဘာမှမတွေးဘူးလေတတိယတရားရောက်လာကြတော့ပြောပြီသူပြီးတော့တမာတိဘယ်ပြောက်သွားလဲမသိဘူ
း One Burmese monk came to meditate at the center and teacher was asking him you know do you notice the thoughts and the monk said I have no thoughts and so he waited the second day he asked him again he says no no thinking I have no thinking and then the third day then the monk said Sierra I don't know where all my samadhi is gone you know my mind is thinking all the time
ဒီအချိန်မှာသူတတိယထက်လာပြီ။ဆက်ဖြစ်လာပြီ။သူတိလိုက်စိတ်ကိုတိလိုက်ပထမသူရုပ်ပဲတိလို့ရတယ်စိတ်ကိုသူတိလို့မရဘူး။
And then he pointed out to this to the monk that he says now the awareness is getting sharper. In the beginning all he could recognize was the sensations that he was paying attention to. He didn't recognize all the stuff that is going on in the mind and now he recognizes the mind too and the mind is doing it.
အဲ့တော့တိလာတာဝမ်းသာမှာစိတ်ပြတ်မှာ
He says so whenever we notice something recognize a new thing that's happening in the mind. Should we be happy or upset?
More happy.
Okay. For one
thought. Yeah, but
right, he says we're trying to be aware. We become aware of things. Why are we upset?
He
says, so whatever you discover, whatever the mind becomes aware of, he says, you're trying to be aware, so be happy. Now you know it.
တိတာကိုတန်ဖိုးထားဖို့ value ကအဲ့တိတဲ့ဘက်မှာ value ရှိတာဖြစ်တဲ့ဘက်မှာမရှိဘူ
း He says so the value of the practice is in being aware in becoming aware it's not in the things that you become aware of so it doesn't matter what you become aware of
experience အတိအကျမှာမဟုတ်ဘူ
း The experience doesn't matter
ကောင်းကောင်းဆိုးဆိုးအရေးမကြီးဘူ
း Good or bad it doesn't matter
အလုံးက nature ကြီးပဲသူ
All of that is nature
အရေးကြီးတာတိနေပဲတိနေထဲမှာညံပါလာတယ်ဒါအတိအကျပဲ
The main thing is that you have become aware and in that awareness there's wisdom this is important
ครับအတွေးကိုရှုတဲ့အခါလည်းဦးဇင်းကဘာပြောလဲဆိုအတွေးပျောက်သွားဖို့အရေးမကြီးဘူးဒီအတွေးကိုကြည့်ရင်လည်းဒီအတွေးထဲမှာကိုဘာတစ်ခုခုသဘောပေါက်အဲ့သဘောပေါက်လာလို့ချင်းတာ
And even in you know recognizing thoughts and watching thoughts he tries to remind you that the thought doesn't have to disappear you don't have to be able to stop the thought process he says in the thought process you want to become as you watch it realize something about the nature of thought or mind or whatever
ဒီတော့ကိုကြည့်နေဒီတော့ကဒါစိတ်တစ်ခုပဲဒါမှမဟုတ်ဒီတော့ကအသေးပဲမရှိတဲ့စိတ်ပဲကိလေသာပဲတစ်ခုနားလေတဲ့အလို့ချက
် You can realize it in from many different perspectives like you might realize this thought is just a mind or this thought is a defilement or this thought is important or this thought is not important
She's crazy
Then you stop If you realize then it suddenly stops yeah
အူရင်းတယောက်ကြုံတယောက်ကြုံဘူးလေယောဂီသူခါမအားလည်းမထုတ်ဘူးလူကနေရာတော့ရှိတယ်အများကြီးဘုဒုံလမလာဝဲတယ်ဘလုံးကတယောက်ချင်းပြောလို့မရဘူးဥစား general ပဲပြောရတယ်အဲ့တော့မင်းကြီးနဲ့လူမင်းဆိုတယောက်မင်းတယ်သူတရားအထုတ်လို့မရဘာလို့အနှကောင်းနဲ့မလို့မရဖိုက်လည်းမလို့တစ်ချိန်မတွေးနေတယ်ဥစားတစ်ချက်ပဲသူ့ကိုပြောလိုက်တယ်အဲ့တွေးပဲထိုင်ကြည့်နေတစ်ချက်ပဲပြောလိုက်တယ်တေချာတော့မပြောလိုက်ရဘူးသူကရိုးတယ်တခါမအားမထုတ်ဘူးရိုးရိုးလေးပြောတဲ့အချိန်မှာသူကသူရိုးရိုးလေးအတွေ့အတွားကြည့်တော့နောက်နေ့ကျတော့ညနေကျတော့အဲ့ဒီ interview လုပ်တဲ့ချိန်လာတော့ပြီးတော့တွေးလို့မရတော့ตัวตุ้ยนี่ติตุ้ยนี่ติติติเนี่ยตุ้ยล่ะตุ้ยรู้เนี่ยติอ่ะตัดล่ะ
In one of his first years of teaching during the Burmese New Year a lot of men come to the monastery to ordain temporarily and usually there's about 200 monks and so it was very busy like 200 monks and he was interviewing them all at once and there was one man who had never meditated beforeAnd so in this hundreds of people, he didn't have time to go through each person carefully. And he said, so who wants to ask a question? And this man said, I've never meditated before. I can't watch the breath. I can't see the rising falling. All my mind is doing is thinking, thinking, thinking. So he said, almost flippantly, he said to this person, he just said, sit and watch those thoughts, he said. And then went on to the, you know, next one. And that man, because he was so simple,He just went and did that. And he didn't know, he didn't even notice all this, but the next day, the man came back, the interviews in the evening, and then, so who wants to say something? He said, Sierra, I can't think anymore. Because all he'd been doing was watching those thoughts, watching, and when there's a lot of watching going on, what takes over is the watching. The watching gets powerful than the mind.
Okay, look at it. So the day I do, you know, the eye of my, the day I set up in it.
So all he's doing is taking the thoughts as object, but he's continuously doing that. And so what's getting stronger and stronger is the watching, the awareness. Yesterday in a discussion session, he asked a yogi, he says, is it possible to watch thoughts and develop concentration?
How do you think?
What do you think?
Yes.
Object to yeah, dale object, dale object.
Yes. If you see it objectively, definitely. Yeah. Everything is an object.
Doesn't the concentration suppress the thoughts?
But he says when it's natural, when you're not actively trying to make the thought go away, suppression is about actively trying not to make something happen. But when you're just watching it neutrally, he says that what's happened is that awareness has just replaced that space. The thought is not able to, doesn't have space to do its work, that's all.
Sometimes I find that when practicing with your instructions that my mind gets a little bit like stiff, kind of like this. But I feel like it doesn't have as many thoughts in it. And then it's all in like one, but it's like a piece of glass or something. It's like.
He says, can you recognize the mind that is thinking?
Yeah.
And think of it this way. He says, if the mind thinks, then when the mind, then there's also the mind that is not thinking.
Yeah.
So both are mind. Thought or no thought is just mind.
Sometimes.
From time to time. But you don't have to create anything. He says whatever it is, just as it is. If it's quiet, it's quiet. He says this is one thing. Often when people just seem to not have anything happening, they think the object has disappeared, or the mind is, or it's empty, or something like that. But he says, what that is just mind, also, just without a lot of activity, mind. But even if you don't recognize that this is a mind, we can still recognize that what is being known is still object because it's what is being known. So there's never a moment that there's no object, he says. There's always an object. By its very nature, it's seen, therefore it's an object. He says, if we don't have this understanding or this information, then what yogis say is that it's emptiness, and then or the blank, it's blank, and that's a, you know, but that just becomes a concept, he says, because then we sort of put it in a box.
Blank a concept.
If we think it's blank or it's empty, he said that's the blankness or emptiness becomes a concept. We have that in like concentration meditations, jhanas. Seventh or eighth jhana, you know, material and immaterial,
nothing.
Something like that.
And nothing becoming object, then you becoming concept.
He says, you know, in times like that when it seems like there's no concrete, something really clear to be aware of, and it feels like nothing, and you can't sort of objectively just know that this is an object also. He says, what you can come back to is the sense of awareness. That you're not sleepy, you're not asleep, you're conscious. This is working, awareness is working, so you come back to the mind that is
working. ထင်ရှားနေတယ
် At that time he says the mind as aware will be actually very clear because it's doing this
အာယုံကတိတ်မှုတဲ့အချိန်မှာစိတ်ကပိုထင်ရှားလာတယ်
Yeah when the objects are very subtle sometimes it just magnifies I mean it clarifies the mind it makes the mind very obvious
အဲကြောင့်ဦးဇင်းယောဂီခဏခဏသိစိတ်အလုံးလုံးတော့ပြန်ပြန်စစ်ပါစိတ်ကဘာလုံးနေလဲဘာလုံးနေလဲစိတ်တတိထားနေလားထားတိတ်မကက်ဘူးဒီကောင်ကြည့်ပါများရင်လွယ်လာလိမ့်မယ်
He reminds the yogi, so check very often, you know, what's the mind doing? Is the mind being aware? And then if you, it's not difficult to notice that the mind is being aware if you do it very often.
Let thi da ye aware lo khain na da example alaga lo da ma bu.
So that example he goes through with the yogis, you know, put your hands together, can you feel the touching sensation? Why is the mind, why can you know the touching sensation?
Yeah.
Because the mind is there, it's not for nothing, it's to get them to really recognize the mind that is
being aware. People find it difficult to recognize the mind that is being aware. People find it
difficult to recognize the mind
that is
being aware. People find it difficult to recognize the mind, not because it's so hard, just because of lack of practice. We use this mind all day, he says. The mind is doing this work all day. Yeah, and he says all the yogi needs is to be talked to about the mind very often. Like they just need to keep hearing about the mind, the mind, the mind, the mind, and they just start noticing the mind. Because, you know, this idea starts working in the back of the mind. So first, they just need to be explained to, like, what is the mind, what is the mind?
တိတာရဲ့တရားရှင်အာအာအတန်ရှင်ပေးတာရဲ့နောက်တိတာရဲ့စဉ်းစားတာထင်ရှားတဲ့စိတ်ကစပြီလား
He says you can start from just recognizing very clear minds at work like the mind is being aware the mind is directing attention the mind is thinking these are very sort of clear mind activities that we can notice
နောက်ဒီထားရရှင်ဒေါ်လေးလေးချလိုက်တိတာဆက်သွားလို့ရှိရင်တိနဲ့ဆက်လာရင်တိတယ်ဆိုတော့ထင်ရှားလာ
Another thing is that he says continuity helps in this way he says like if we take a pen and put little dots down on a piece of paper when we've been putting dots down for some time what we see is a line so in the same way if we've been paying attention or being aware continuously it's like putting dots down after a long time what comes into relief is that awareness He says, if we just don't get lost in like wanting to get to that object and we'll just be aware of it, he said, then you will start to see the mind.
Okay.
I sort of struggle worrying about what my spiritual teachers think of me. And it sort of seemed to serve me when I was in school in the, you know, the scholar in a school situation.
Yeah.
It kind of matters what your teachers think of you.
Yeah.
So, and you're always being judged and trying to, you know, and it's like there's this complete flip with this sort of teacher situation.
Yeah.
And I can't break the habit of like, what do they think of me? What do they think of me? And it seems to really get in the way.
Tuwa tu ma di ache shi le tu sia sia no sia ri ya tu o ba tin ni le lo ai sik ka tu ma pyaung nai mu le ba so chao ma lo wa so yin ne ho pou man chao tat de akha ma cha lo di lo myo wa lo lo le de ba so sia ri ya a mye ho lo myo a che ni ma cha lo judgment de la le ko tu lo a tin ne lo ma so ko wa ba the shi le lo ti tha mo a ye chi le de da ba a hu di lo myo tya sia cha lo le byaung myan ne ပြောင်းပြန်တကယ်တော့တိတ်အထောက်ကူမဖြစ်တော့ဒီလိုမျိုးတွေးတာကိုယ့်အတွက်အနှောက်အယှက်တောင်ဖြစ်နေပြီလေဒါပေမဲ့ဒီအတွေးပေါ်လာတော့သူမရနိုင်ဒီခံစားမှုပေါ်လာမှာ
မရနိုင်ပါဘူးလူတိုင်းမှရှိတာပဲဒါပါသာပြရမှာမဟုတ်ဘူ
း
လူတိုင်းမှရှိတယ
် He says but everybody is like that It's not strange
ဘာတော့ပဲ
It's very natural for the mind to feel this way
လူတယောက်ကိုကြည့်ရင်တော့မဟုတ်ဘာထင်လဲဆိုတော့လာတယ
် He says even if someoneEven a stranger looks at you, you'll think, what's that person thinking of me? You know, that's the feeling, yeah.
What's that?
That's
nature, but
he said, but that's nature. It's the nature of the mind.
What's wrong with it?
Just recognize that it's there every time it pops up.
Saira, have you heard about therapy and everything in the West that we...
Psychotherapy?
Psychotherapy. What do you think about things like this?
Psychotherapy, everybody was in Chabure. He doesn't understand all that very much.
The cooler thing, relaxation could not help you. To have a little bit of relax to a meaning or deeper thing like that.
He says he has something along that vein. He's heard a tape before. It was a tape on relaxation. And what the narrator did was encourage the person to think about the meaning of relax. And of course, in his narration, he was like prompting the person. And the person's always hearing the word relax over and over again. And he said that's what the mind does, pay attention to the meaning and buy into
it.
So as the person thinks about the meaning of relax, he starts to become more relaxed. So he thought of the parallel with pain. So if we think of relax, 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 we become more relaxed. He says, what happens when we think pain, 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 which is what we do when we label pain? It feels more and more painful because the mind can't forget.
He says it's
just the nature of the mind. The moment there's a thought or a word, he says it immediately goes to the meaning of that thing, and then it gets into it.
Anyhow, discussion a little bit, He says,
so that's why he says, you know, we meet lots and lots of Dharma teachers. He says, and they say what they say the way they know how to say it. But what's important is, how are you taking it? He says, so when he does discussions, he's trying to listen to, what did the person understand? Because he could have said something and the person understand it in a different way. So he's trying to listen out for what did the person understand. That's why discussions are helpful, because when you say something about what you think, he says then how you're understanding something comes out, then he can tweak it. But they say the way they know how to say it. But what's important is how are you taking it.
You have to practice this way.
He really wants to know how the yogis practice it, because that's the yogis practice. And then when they tell him what they're really experiencing, then he can help them to figure them out themselves. He said he's not doing this for himself, it's for the yogi. If he doesn't know what the yogi is going through, then how can he help the yogi? So what he wants to know most is, in what way is the yogi holding ideas? What sort of ideas
are,
what sort of ideas is he operating from? He gives the example of a stupid supervisor with an unskillful worker.
He says
the ideas can be like a stupid supervisor. And he says the mind that's trying to meditate is not skillful yet, it's the worker. And if the ideas don't supervise well, then the worker doesn't do the right job. So it's only with lots of discussion that the yogi can learn to know themselves better. Also, they get more information and then they can get help for their own practice.
And the
subject of learning, he says, means that it's a big field, you know, and it can't be done in a short time. You have to continue the process. Sometimes to really understand something, we have to give it many years, a lot He says that the main thing for the yogi is just whether they're actually doing it right or not, right practice.
Experience and understanding.
One thing he wants to talk about, experience and understanding. Our tendency in practice is to be very concerned with the experience as a reflection of the practice. We think that the experience must be a certain way to prove that the practice is moving ahead. But he says the experience only changes in many ways depending on the state of samadhi or the state of your mind. But that's not true understanding. He says it's based on the experience. He says that we can check what sort of understanding is arising. So it's our understanding. And even if there's no understanding arising in a moment, what you can check for is what point of view is the mind relating to this experience.
Out of that, I have a question. It seems like sometimes when you're in a certain state of awareness, feel like you have a certain understanding.
You have to repeat that.
Okay, so it feels like when you are in a certain state of awareness, perhaps a certain kind of samadhi, a certain understanding comes out of that or becomes apparent to you. And when it's gone, sometimes the thing that you thought of as insight seems to go with it. And then sometimes it seems like there's sort of a continuation of that understanding. It's difficult to tell whether it's just memory. It's just kind of like, then you have a thought, and you're like, yes, I experienced that, and you sort of have a sense of comfort in knowing this is the way it is. You know, I saw this, even though maybe I'm not experiencing it quite as fully. Where is the understanding more when you can continue to come back to this thing? You know, in the sense of even if you're not feeling it quite so deeply, you still there's sort of a sense of maybe a comfort like. He says you're right, you know, that that when you've had something like an insight before, sometimes it's not as clear anymore. But recalling the insight, he calls it recalling the insight, gives you a sense of relief or harmony, a sense of harmony in the present moment, because and the stronger the insight has been, the more immediate the feeling or the stronger the sense of being okay with it, because you've understood that. But he says one insight is not enough. It's not enough to have any insight only He says, like, one yogi, some yogis actually have had this, had a very strong insight. Very clearly saw there was nobody there. Definitely not her. Very clear sense of it. But just a flash, a clear flash, and then no more. But in coming out of that, like in not after that fact, it was like she couldn't handle it. She couldn't even speak to him about it. It was too much to feel that there was no me. All she could do was cry.
Family
10 minutes she was speechless because Thinking about it would just send her into these convulsions and sobs. What has happened is that in the moment of seeing, he said wisdom arose, but right after he says wrong view has covered it all up again.
Wrong view, let me come.
And wrong view cannot accept this. He says, actually, a real Vipassana insight is very strong. People have this idea that Vipassana insights are for keeps. Like, I get this insight, and then the next one. And then the next one, the next one. He says, but it's not like that. He says, when you have a real insight, he said, it can just like understand everything. He said, that's if it's really strong. You know, it just continues to understand and understand and understand. But when it's not strong, what happens is it understands a moment, then it stops. He says, wisdom hasn't even had a chance to raise its head in the defilements.
Yeah,
he says, the head comes up and the wrong view just chops the head off.
In the case of the yogi that he was talking about, is it then sort of the defilement of aversion sort of comes in, like she's not able to accept that reality, and so immediately this aversion stops her from being able to continue experiencing that.
Yes. Once the wrong view is in, then all the defilements are in. The me doesn't like, doesn't want, and so on, can't accept.
So wrong view, the moha, when I moha that what?
Yes. Wrong view is delusion. And delusion is the boss of all the other defilements.
The godfather.
He's the godfather.
Yeah. Oh, daughter, they chant and they change that. Street fighter.
He says anger, aversion is the street fighter.
Lover.
He says greed is like the men in suits, you know. The smooth ones.
Godfather.
But you can't see the godfather. Yes, he says, and when does the godfather become apparent? It's when understanding arises, when there's a realization, an insight. He says, then the mind sees the opposite of understanding is delusion. He says our understandings are weak. He says that's why the Buddha said to practice all the time. Yeah. Otherwise our understanding comes in fits and starts. So the defilements are so strong and they're on all sides just waiting to mold you. He says right to the door of enlightenment. He says the defilements will follow you. He says so enlightenment is not important. He says the defilements are more important. He says because the moment the defilements come in, you go down, you go out the door. He says, now we're just trying to go into the door of wisdom or understanding or enlightenment or whatever. We're trying to get to the right place. He says, but we're not watching out for the guys that are getting in our way, which is the defilements.
How do we relate to the defilements?
Defilement goes,
right view necessary.
Right view. He says emptiness is not something that you can see. You cannot make an effort to see it. Emptiness can only be understood. He says, you know, the Buddha didn't say to eliminate or to get rid of the defilements. He said to understand the defilements. The Buddha said to recognize there is delusion, there is aversion, there is greed.
So you see aversion, you see greed, and what do you do with that? You just watch it? He says,
as it is with the
watch it in order to finally at some point understand its true nature. It's not personal.
You push it away, you don't pull back, you just be with it.
Yes.
But stay with it to investigate it.
Learning process will be on the way.
So you call it a learning process because the intention is to finally, as you investigate it, you stay with it for months.
But the mind thing,
He says the first step of understanding is not to get rid of the defilements. The first step of understanding is to understand the nature of the defilement as it is, which is that it's not personal. If you understand the word empty in that way, okay, you said. Problem with the word empty.
But it's very painful to stay with the defilement.
But he says you will come to see that the defilements, they do their own work, the wisdom, it will do its own work too.
Nobody there.
Nobody's there, he said, but whichever is stronger, fire or water, that will he says everybody who's practiced for some time or even a little while might sometimes have this experience where you're watching a defilement and the defilement might be very agitated or difficult or whatever, but the mind that is watching can watch it in a cool and unaffected way with equanimity. So what's important is the stance of the watching mind. In the watching mind, there's no greed, aversion, delusion. That object might be greed, aversion, delusion, it doesn't matter.
So when I identify with the defilement, then I experience pain and suffering because I am now solidifying the self to the defilement. When I'm watching the defilement, there's more detachment. And so it's more watching. Their pain may come and go, but it's a very different experience.
He said, right, when the watching is strong, he said, there's this, disengagement. And he said, if there's some wisdom in it, in the watching, right attitude or some other wisdom, he says, it's even easier.
So the defilements are just creating a sense of self.
Delusion is creating the sense of self. We can do this experiment. He says, we use the word I, me, my, myself all day, very often. He says, we can notice every time we use the word, these words, how much we really believe in those words.
Yes.
If there's some understanding of its,
no self.
that is not so real, then that person will find that they use the word, but they're not so bought into that story.
ไอ้อ่ะบ่าวต้งนี่แหละตัวนี้ตะกายะโหยุคหนังตะต้งอยู่ตะต้งนี่สิดายุคหนังสิดายุคหนังเนี่ยน้าเลยถ้าไอ้อ่ะดาวอยู่แล้วต้งนี่น้ามารูปะโหเปล่าไอ้อ่ะไอ้อ่ะต้งนี่ล่ะไอ้อ่ะดิยุคหนังโหดิยุคหนังขอเนี่ยอ่ะ
He said the reality that is present, he said, is a physical and mental process. It's a process in motion. He says, and what is being done by the mind is that it's putting, using the word I to refer to this physical and mental process. So it's only when we understand that something is just a process, there's only a process of cause and effect, there's a chain of cause and effect going on, this is when we understand this clearly, then the understanding of anatta, he doesn't use non-self as much as like it's just cause and effect, a process. That understanding of anatta is strong. He says people often think of anatta as the doctrine of non-self, like not me. He doesn't like to use the not me very much. It's not so much about
nature though.
He prefers to think of it as nature.
And causing effect.
Use the word nature or that it's just a process of cause
and effect.
He says somebody who understands the doctrine of anatta, he says actually works more. They don't become lazy if they understand anatta. Because there's a clear understanding of cause and effect. If you think of anatta as, oh, it's nothing to do with me, nothing to do with me, slowly you become apathetic, lazy. There's a lot of this in Burma, he says. He says, effects come about when the causes and conditions are complete, are all there. If we just seek out the conditions and fulfill the conditions and the causes, the effect just happens naturally. He says that's why, you know, there can be enlightenment, there has been a Buddha. Because he fulfilled all these conditions. Only when all that came together, then that effect happened. If even one of the conditions is absent from the many that need to be there, even one condition is absent, that effect won't take place. So it's never one cause giving rise to one effect. It's always many causes and conditions giving rise to one effect.
I'm confused about how that fits with anatta. Is that what you're talking about here?
Yes. Anatta is...
is the understanding of cause and effect?
Yes.
Cause and effect,
Yes. Nothing in this world is free of cause and effect. When we don't understand something's cause, the cause of something, what we say, oh, it happened automatically. By itself.
So
everything that happens has a cause, has a reason. So if we can get rid of the causes and the conditions, the effect won't take place anymore.
What's the energy that makes the cause and the effect?
Yes, this is very interesting.
He says, you find the answer, he's not
going to tell me.
He wants to say it, but he won't.
Don't you up, ba'a,
people. space ပေးမလို့လူတွေကိုစဉ်းစားဖို့
Yeah. He says it's good to give people some space to think out their own answers.
ဥစဉ်တစ်ချိန်လုံးအဲ့လိုပြောပြရင်အရင်ကတော့ပြောတယ်ပြောရင်လူတွေကမသုံးတော့ဘူ
း Yeah, he says he used to tell people answers all the time, but then people don't like try to think things through anymore.
ဘာလို့လဲဆောင
်
ဥစဉ်ပြရတော့အဲ့လိုလုပ်ခဲ့တယ်ဘာမှသိမရှင်းပြဘူး
Yeah, his teacher did that. I mean, he talks a lot to us. His teacher didn't talk very much. He would only ask him why. His teacher would ask him why.
ဥစဉ်ကိုယ့်အကိုအဖြေရှာယူတော့သဘောပေါက်လာလို့တကယ်အားထုတ်ခြင်းတကယ်အားကောင်းလာတာ
He says so from trying to find his answers, he understood things, and because of the things he understood, you know, his motivation to practice grew at When he first began meditation, it was very simple. He just asked him to watch the rising falling of the abdomen. Then after he was able to do that, he would ask him, why is there rising of the abdomen?Do you have an answer?
Rising, falling, brother.
He's talking about the rising and falling of the abdomen.
Intention,
breath, yeah. But the pure movie, intention of
pure movie. Yeah, and the cool is good.
Yeah, so like that, you know, so his teacher would like ask him one question after the other.
ဒီမှာမေးတာဥစဉ်လည်းကြောက်ဥစဉ်နောက်တစ်ခုထည့်မေးတယ်ရှူရရင်လားဖောင်းလာရင်လား
and so when it came to his turn when he became a teacher and he would ask the yogis he built on the questions his teacher asked him so why the rising falling and then why do you breathe and then which comes first the breathing or the rising of the rising do you breathe first or does the rising of the abdomen happen first
Which one comes first? You can experiment now.
Yeah. Dukkha.
He said,
oh, Dukkha. He says a simple question.Simple. He says, we don't even know this about our body. He says, you know, we really need to be very interested in ourselves. What's happening in the body and what's happening in the mind and how do they relate to each other? How do they affect each other? And how does the mind relate to itself? One mind to the next.How does the body relate to itself? Like one sensation to the next.
I know, same as I am.
He says, if we are that interested, he said, we'll be well on the way to understanding Dharma.
I know, when I was young, the kubi man, the kuji, the kubi. Tayin lai man, tala le ten.
Yeah. He says, if we only observe one object at a time, like we watch this, and then this, then whatever we watch first, we think will come. We will think comes first.
အဲ့တော့ခွာကြည့်ရအောင
် He says so put your attention on both All
I'm the right answer lah
Then you can get the right answer
တော့ပြည့်မဟုတ်ဘူ
းဇီအပြေမပေးဘူးဆို
ဟုတ်တယ်မဟုတ်ဘူးဒါတော့ရှင်းပါတော့ရိုးရိုးလေး
It's not a vacuum inside the what do you call it
လမ်းကြောင်းထဲမှာ
Reading tubes right
They both happen at the same time.
Yeah.
Right answer.
Only when we just look at everything, then we get the right answer.
Okay. So, time off.
If you have any questions, you can ask. He says it's just...
ဥစဉ်ဘာပြောမယ်ဆိုကောင်းတာမရှိဘူ
း Can't think of anything right now
ဟိုပြောဒီတည်းထွက်လာရင်တော့အကြောင်းပေါ်မှာမူတည်ပြီးတော့ပြောတော့
If people ask questions based on that you know more and more
ဩမနေ့ကဂရုဏာအကြောင်းပြောတယ်
အဲ့ဒါရှိတယ် Yesterday we were at Joseph's and people were talking about compassion, and it's near enemy, you know, which can be aversion actually.
He
says compassion is a wholesome quality of mind. So it should be a good quality of mind. It must feel good. But what people feel now when they use the word compassion is
A lot of people suffer.
ဟုတ်တယ်။ဟုတ်ကြောင်းမှာဖုံးရပါ။ဦးသိမ်းကြည့်ရအောင်လားမှာကြောင်းနာတော့တော်တော်ဆင်းရဲအဲ့တင်းရတော့ဆုတ်ပြတယ်။သူမြင်တော့ဒီမနေနိုင်ဘူး။တနာတယ်။အဲ့တော့တရားထိုင်လို့မရဘူး။အဲ့တော့တော့ဒီဘုရားထံဆုပြီးတော့တွားလူလိုက်တော့မှသူဘုရားဖြစ်တယ်။တော့သူတင်သူကလာပြီးတော့တူတူဂရုဏာအရင်ကြည့်တယ်ပေါ့သူကလို့။အမှဦးသိမ်းကသူ့ဘာပြောလဲဂရုဏာစတာတော့ဂရုဏာနဲ့စတာဒါမှအဲ့ချိန်မှာတော there's a village outside the meditation center. And a Vietnamese bhikkhu, a Vietnamese monk, as he did his alms round, and he saw, you know, the state of some of the houses, some of the huts, some of them, one or two of them were in disrepair, and he felt a lot of, you know, sadness because of the state of these people's houses, and he wanted to help to repair the house, and he felt a lot of compassion for those people, and but then, you know, well, because of something at the center, what we tried, you know, for yogis not to get involved in these things too much, but he couldn't meditate anymore, thinking about these poor people out there, you know, who don't have a home, and he got so distressed. In the end, he just went out and, you know, he gathered all these funds and he somehow, you know, got it done and got a house for these people, and finally he could, you know, he could settle down. And he told the teacher, you know, that his compassion was so great, you know, that that's why, you know, he went all out to help them. And so the teacher explained to him that it began with compassion, but at the point that he couldn't meditate anymore and couldn't take it anymore, at that point it was actually aversion at work. So he says, who did he go to make that house for? Was it for those people or for himself? He says the main person he did it for was himself, to take himself out of his own suffering. So just as when in the example earlier that person had a flash of wisdom, then the defilements take over, like overcome it because the wisdom is not strong enough. And so when there's compassion and there's no wisdom with it, then aversion, anger comes in and gets all mixed up. So compassion and anger working together,
He
says, the mind has such a habit, and the habit of the defilement is so strong, even when a good volition or good intention, a wholesome mind appears and is the ostensible reason for something, very often it gets mixed up with all these unwholesome intentions and all as well.
Yeah,
he says very often people come to the meditation center and say to him, he says, you know, I've done all these good things all my life, and you know, why don't I have any good results? And then he points this out to them. He says, because what determines that something is wholesome is the intention, not the action. But what these people think is that it's the action, and so they say, this action was wholesome, why don't I get a wholesome result? But because their intentions in doing that got all mixed up with all these wrong intentions too, or wrong
attitudes. ตัวตึงตะเป็ดลาลงสิตัวมีครั้งน่ะมีคนเนี่ยคลีเดียวก็ค คลีเดียวก็ลูกชาติงเงินเดียวมุกทุกข์ไปเลยสู้อ่ะดิคลีมันกุตุยะก็ไม่อ่ะไม่อ่ะบรู้เปล่าเนี่ย
He said when he was little he remembers when he went to the monastery sometimes his teacher would call people together and have these little discussions and he remembers one of them his teacher asked these people say you see a little child and you see the child sharing one of his sweets with another child he says does this child have any wholesome merit how can you tell this how can you tell that this child has got merit
ဥစဉ်ကြီးဗမာပြည်ကဗုဒ္ဓဆင်းရဲကိုအများကြီးမေးတယ်။တက်တက်လုံးကုသိုလ်လုပ်လာတယ်လုပ်တယ်။ရလားမရလားမေးတော့သူမဖြစ်နိုင
်ဘူး။ He says ဘလို့ပြန်
တက်လုံးကုသိုလ်လုပ
်။
ဒါနတွေလုပ်တယ်၊သီလတွေစောင့်တယ်၊ဘာဝနာတွေပွားများတယ်။ကုသိုလ်ဖြစ်ကြောင်းကုသိုလ်ရဲ့ကုသိုလ်တွေလုပ်တယ်ပေါ့။ကောင်းမှုကုသိုလ်တွေအများကြီးလုပ်တယ်။လုပ်လားလို့လုပ်တယ်။ဒါပေမဲ့ကုသိုလ်ရလားလို့မေးတာဥစဉ်က
။ He says but in Burma you know he asks these adults. He says so you've done all these wholesome actions all your life. All he says, these actions are the proximate cause for wholesome merit to rise, for wholesome result. So like doing dana, or practicing sila, or practicing meditation, you know? So dana, sila, bhavana, all these things. Actions, supposedly wholesome. He says, so you've been doing all this all your life? And they say, yes. He asks them, have you received any kusala? Have you received any wholesome result from this?
Mary to tell you. Mary,
that's a good one. Okay. And these adults don't know.
But you know, they cannot say. They think it's future. Next life.
He says they think that the wholesome result will accrue in the next life. That's their wrong view. He says to them, if I only get in my next life, I'm not going to do it.
Wholesome mind, you know, mind quality.
Yeah, he says, so wholesome is the mind. It's the quality of the mind. If it's wholesome, you get the result right now. If you look at your own mind, you know.
အဲ့မယ်ယောဂီတွေစိတ်ကိုကြည့်ခိုင်းတော့ဟိုတချို့ဟိုသူအိမ်သာတိုက်တယ်
တ
ိုက်တော့ယောဂီကပါပြောတော့သူတိုက်တာတိုက်တယ်သူစိတ်ကပြီးများသူအချီးမိုးခံကျင်နေတာစိတ်ကအပြင်းမရောက်နေအဲ့စိတ်ကိုသူမြင်ပြီးသူဖယ်လိုက်တော့မှလေတကယ်ပူလိုက်ဖြစ်သွားတယ
် He says so that's why he says wash the mind he says this yogi said he was washing the toilets meritorious action and then he was washing his mind and he was doing it because he wanted other people to see that he was washing the toilets when he recognized that then heYou know, worked it out, then he decided to put that aside and just wash the toilet. Then it became a pure action.
Purify a little, the body must purify it. But how is it mixed?
He says, purification comes only when we understand the nature of what's happening. Otherwise, he says, all mixed up.
Okay.
Are you tired?
Oh, okay. So,
you can also again experience and understanding. I think that seems like a huge subject, so maybe another time. But it's that you just touched it a little bit, the difference of experience and understanding.
Okay. So, I am I pita ne, sing ne, kuara ubiara daro, chiu e ra dama, e ra ne ne piao mi lo.
Piao ti ne piao li.
What do you want?What do you want him to?
Well, sense experiences seem to contain a kind of understanding. Then we talked about the understanding that sort of comes and then goes away. Or
some experience seems
experience to seem to be consisting of a kind of understanding.
Like, example.
If you see, maybe you have a thought that usually is disturbing and you do it with equanimity, then you think, oh, I don't need to be disturbed by this. So that kind of is an equanimity can then have an understanding.Anyway, maybe it's just too late and we shouldn't keep talking about this.
But actually, in there is the experience and the wisdom.
Yeah.
The experience was the, what, you said thinking?
I guess that was feeling
or thinking or something.
Yeah, and then kind of the understanding was the thing. This is not necessary, whatever you said. So that, again, it's different. The experience and the understanding are different.
Okay. So they're different.
You just lumped it together. What
actually is it? You can see it. You can see it. Rising, passing, and you can see it. You can see it. You can see it.
ม
ีนี่นะเนาะพอละแหละเปล่าละแหละพอพอละแหละเปล่าละสึกบ้ามันเปล่าเลยตะฉิ่งมาดูเนี่ยมาละฉิ่งมาเปล่าตัวละตะฉิ่งนี่นะช็อกขึ้นมาไอ้ฉิ่งมาอันนั้นเท่นี่หมด
He said he give you an example like this yogi was telling him how he'd been watching arising and passing away for a long time things come things go things come things go but didn't make any difference to his mind
right.
So that's the experience
Yeah.
Seeing things come and go. But there's no real understanding of impermanence. Although it's supposed to be a sign of it, there's no understanding of impermanence. And once, after, I don't know how many, many, long time, once this yogi, you know, he'd been, we saw that, and then in a moment of balance, when something came and went, suddenly it hit the mind. This...You know, things are like this.
Shocked,
right?
Yeah.
Either you.
The karma man mean, the karma man sense about it, do you mean?
He was shocked at the depth at which he understood it. It's like he had never seen anything like this before, but he'd been seeing this thing over. So before, the experience was just the experience. There was no understanding. It, at that time, there was the experience and an understanding arose from that experience, but the understanding and the experience are different.
ไอ้นี่ทำมาหมดนี่ซิกแท้มา
แล้วเดี๋ยวตะคู่ด้วยเลยบ่มากาวดังแม้ซิกกัดจีนะซิกกัดจีนี่เนาะอ๋อดาบ่รู้บาล่ะหลุตะบอพอดิเดี๋ยวไอ้แหมมาไปกูเปล่า
ได้ญาณน่ะหัวเน
ี่ยกวย
มันคว้ยลูกว่ะดูมันคว้ยลูกฉิดอฉิดญาณแล้วตุลุลุเลยเอ็กซ์พีเรียนแล้วฉิดญาณแล้วผิดนี่กูลงนี่ลูก
Yeah he says like the example you gave you know both there's both the experience and the understanding that were happening but you've just sort of thought of the whole thing as an experience but actually the wisdom was doing its work and the experience was just
machine
level
deja machine level
just because you're not clear of the distinction
but sometimes when you see something passing away very distinctly you have a feeling of
so what
at the time when it's passing away it seems simultaneous that you it's like and then it's gone and you think oh that thing will never be you know in the passing away of something there's sometimes a feeling that there's you know understanding in the same
understanding what
in the same understanding
moment.
Like the finality of the passing away or of the the insubstantiality of the
what
delusion you think like oh my god you know like when it just but in the as it disappears it seems like it disappears in a different way than most other times but isn't that having an experience and an understanding at
the same time?
At the same time but the nature is different
okay
understanding is understanding and experience is experience that's what he's trying to point out
okay
yeah not the behind you look what naku so low
experience
แต่แต่ตบอเจียมันดู
มันดูตบาว่าสิเนเจอร์มันดู
the nature is different the understanding is understanding
แกมีแลผิดหรอล่ะแกอัญญา
he says because how you can tell the difference between the experience and the understanding is you mentioned yourself that you don't always have this understanding when this experience is happening
yeah okay bye bye
thank you so much
น้าท่องเชียร์น
ี
่นะน้าชอบน้าเพี้ยนไปเลยตีลูกมิวมีตัญญาลูกมิวน้าท่องไปลูก
เข้าเดี๋ยวเปล่าน้ามาตรวจตะข้าวมาจ้าวเรื่อยอะไรจ้าเนี่ย
What? I'm gonna water the plant.
Oh, oh.
I think it needs some water. can work.
Watch out.